young pastor asked me, he said, what's the hardest thing to achieve in life? I said, for a minister, it's live up to your own preaching. I remember once a lady came up to me with a problem, and I just preached on it the week before, and I was having a little difficulty with her. She wanted to come in for counseling, but she wouldn't come to church regularly, so I told her, I said, you should have been in church last Sunday. You get the tape. And I said, God holds you accountable for what's preached, whether you're here or not. That is, if you had the opportunity to come, and you didn't. So she came up to me a couple of weeks later and told me she's going to be out of town. And she said, I want to be accountable. And then, great. So would you believe that she came up to me the next week and said, I'm back. And so I get the tape, and she looked at me and said, what did you preach on? And I drew a blank. So help me, I could not tell her what I preached on. She laughed and she laughed. She said, here, you're wanting me to remember what you preached on when I'm not even here, and you're here and you're preaching. You can't remember it. Oh, well, people have more fun than anybody. We'd like for you to stand for the reading of the word. I will be talking about our general conference in this message today and also tonight. I'll preach part one on the title, Victory is Certain. We use the word or the term for certain. When something's for certain, that simply means without a doubt, having no doubt, it's sure, it's inevitable, it's bound to happen, and victory is for certain. Now, I do not believe in unconditional eternal security. Now, unconditional eternal security simply means that you give your heart to God. After that, after you're born again, you just do whatever you want to do, and because of God's grace, you will be saved. That's not the teachings of the Scripture. But on the other hand, I do believe in eternal security. That simply means that if you have been born again and you're living according to Scripture, that there's no devil in hell, no power on earth that's able to take you out of the hand of God. So your salvation is secure. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day. So 2 Peter, the general epistle of Peter, the first chapter, we start reading with verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So grace and peace can be multiplied by doing what? Receiving knowledge. That's what you do when you listen to preaching. That's what you do when you read the Bible. A person is converted by first receiving knowledge that changes his understanding, that changes his action or grants to him wisdom. The Old Testament was knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. It's in our understanding that our attitude is changed. So we could say that we receive knowledge, it changes our attitude, that changes our action. The same way you're converted is the way that you grow. You receive knowledge, changes your attitude, that changes your action. Sometimes it takes a whole lot of knowledge to change you just a little bit. And I don't know, I wasn't in here Wednesday night when Brother O'Neill preached, but I've heard so many great things about your message, Brother O'Neill, and thank you so much. One thing that Brother O'Neill does One thing that Brother O'Neill does when he preaches, he's a preacher of the Bible, of the Word. He knows thousands of scriptures, and he knows how to put them together. And thank you so much for doing such an excellent job. So grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue or power, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Now, what he's talking about spiritual growth here. Well, I do believe that the plateau, or the elevation, maybe I should say, of your spirituality is very important. You know, you don't want to stay down on ground zero all the time. You want to climb up. I do believe that what's more important than your altitude is the direction that you're traveling. Because you could have been saved for many years and be way up here, but you're sliding backwards. And on the other hand, there could be a new convert that's way down here that's going up. What's important is the direction that you're climbing. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Never fall. Let's say it together. Never fall. Never fall. Now, that sounds like eternal security to me. But it says if you just can't goof around and play church and play the role of a Christian. Verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and worship the Lord, would you? Thank you, God. We love you, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. So victory. Victory is certain. It's inevitable. It's bound to happen. If you do certain things. I say if you do certain things. Can salvation that is given to all freely, can salvation be something that you are sure of? Can it be? Yeah. I have talked to many ministers of various denominations, and I've had some to tell me that you really don't know when you were saved. Now, if you don't know when you were saved, how do you know you were saved? Just wake up one morning feeling good about yourself? There is such a thing as the new birth, you know. This is the reason why that it's very important that you receive a Bible experience, something that came right out of the Scripture, In order to be born again, you need to first repent of your sins. Then you need to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance. And the speaking with tongues is a sign that you have been filled with the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the devil can back you up and back you up and back you up and back you up. But he can't back you out of salvation, because you know for a fact that you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit, I went like a month without speaking in tongues after that. And I got to thinking about this, you know, did I really speak in tongues? And, you know, the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He is a liar. Not only is he a liar, he is the father of all lies. And this began to bother me. And I would pray and pray, and I would seek the Lord, and I would not speak with tongues. And one night I got so disturbed about this, I got out of bed. I went on the backside of our property. I had plowed a fire lane around our property. I lived in Texas, so I plowed about a 6-foot fire lane to keep any potential wildfires. It was very dry in Texas this time, and I got down in one of those fire lanes, or in the fire lane, and I began to pray, and I said, "Now, Lord, I'm not leaving this place until I settle this issue." And so I prayed and 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 I prayed, and I became quite desperate, just like I did when I first received the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord came down and rested upon me. And right there in the middle of the night, with nothing over my head but just the stars above, I was refilled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I got to tell you, I was refilled. And I felt so great, I don't know that I went to sleep the rest of the night. That's how I felt about it. Now, since then, I have fought many battles. And there were battles that I didn't feel like that I was winning. I didn't feel like that victory was that inevitable. But I got to tell you, the devil has never backed me up past the altar. I use the term altar as a term describing my experience with God. He's never backed me up past that altar experience. And if you will pray regularly in the Holy Ghost, I say, if you will pray regularly in the Holy Ghost, and when I say regularly, why don't you try to pray daily in the Holy Ghost? You'd be surprised, the devil can't back you up very far. And I'm amazed, too, that when I do battle with Satan, that for the most part, the battle is determined in prayer. It's how I pray. You know, when Peter and James went by the gate called Beautiful and saw the man who was begging, he was lame, they were going to pray. And they prayed regularly in the temple. The amazing thing is that whenever they spoke to this man, there's not even a prayer recorded. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." The word virtue that's found in 2 Peter, we call it power, but it can also be translated authority. See, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. That's what Jesus said. He's not talking about just the dunamis, dynamite power, but he's saying all authority in heaven and earth. This is the reason why that the centurion said, you know, you don't have to come to my house to heal my servant. All you have to do is speak the word. For I am a man under authority like you. I say to this man, go do this, and he does it. I say to this one, go do this, and he doesn't have a choice because I have authority over him. Now you have authority over all of the creatures, over all of creation. God can say to the wind to blow, it blows. To cease, it ceases. He can say to the sun, shine, it shines. To the clouds, rain, it rains. I don't know. You know, we were praying for rain one time, and I just kept praying, God, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain, let it rain. It's like the Lord spoke to me and said, why don't you say, cause it to rain? I not only let it rain, but I cause it to rain. I cause the wind to blow. So you can speak to the devils that's been hindering. You can speak to the sickness. It has no choice but to leave. It has no choice but to leave. Oh, halamahashakara mabahataya. Lift your hands and praise the Lord, would you? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God. You know, I know for a fact that I'm on a winning team. Now you hear a lot about football, and this is football season, and I think I heard yesterday that the University of Wisconsin kicks off its basketball season soon. I think it just kicked off its hockey season. And you know, sports is a big, big thing. You have to be very careful because sports can become a form of idolatry. Didn't get too many amens on that. I didn't say it was. I said it can become. But you have to understand, so can your house, and so can your car, and so can your vocation. This is the reason why, you know. Now, let me say before I go any further. In order to be a good Christian, it's very simple. I may make it sound complicated sometimes, but it's not complicated at all. It's just do what you know to do, and do it with all your heart. Like the scripture says. The first and the greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength, everything you have. Now, if you do that, I say if you do that, you're going to fare very well in your life with God. See, it's when something takes the place of God's love. It could be your boyfriend, your girlfriend. Could be your wife, your husband. Could be your children. Could be your family. Could be your home. Could be your automobile. Could be your job. Could be anything. But to be on this winning team, and who likes to be on a losing team? Reading in the paper this past week that we're talking about football, that Randy Moss signed with the Minnesota Vikings. Now, this is what he said. He says, I want to be on a winning team. Well, I thought he was probably on the team with the most wins in the last decade. But he's kind of a restless type character. And he thought that if he went to back to Minnesota where he was before, that he's going to be in the limelight and he's going to get probably more attention than what he was getting where he was. But the big problem with him switching over, he has no guarantee that Minnesota is going to the Super Bowl. I don't care what team he plays on, he has no guarantee. This is the reason why they play the game. And you may say, well, Pastor, you're talking about being on a winning team. You know, this whole thing about sports, you know, one time, oh, man, we got the best team. Oh, my. 4-0, Wisconsin. Then they play Michigan State. They look quite miserable. They won yesterday 41 to, what was it, 23? Something like that. I did not see the game. I saw the score. So, evidently, they look pretty superb. But there's no guarantee that we'll even play in a bowl game. And you may say, well, here we are playing or living, I use the term living, life, you're talking about being on a winning team. Is there assurance that we're going to win? Well, let me assure you, according to this, we're going to win. Now, I'm going to talk more about that tonight, but I will just say this. 1 John 5, verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. And when we talk about witness, we're talking about the record. See, God said, I will destroy the world with water. This happened over 2,000 years before Jesus walked on the earth. Now, he told Noah to build this big ark. Never rained before, never. Make it so wide and so high and so long, and put two of all the animals, male and female, on this. Oh, what a, you know, it never rained before, my. But did it rain? Yes, it did. Did it rain and destroy the world? Yes, it did. Did the boat float? Yes, it did. Did Noah, his three sons, Noah's wife and their wives, did they make it? Yes, they did. Now, here's the problem. It says, if we receive the witness of men, there can be a prediction about a company that closes up, and the reaction is of such that the stock market could fall 150, 200 points in one day. Now, that does not mean that this company is going belly up. Just there was a rumor, and somebody thought it was, and somebody believed it. And it affected the economy of pretty much the whole world as a result of that rumor. And we have all kinds of people that are going around with rumors. You know, prophets of doom. I remember starting my first church in Cushing, Texas, and there was a gentleman who had some affiliation with Pentecost, and he was reaching. He was in the sunset years of his life. He's since passed on. But I was doing all this work, and I saw him on the streets downtown one day, and he said, "You know, Brother Grant," he says, "I really admire your ministry." He'd started coming to church, but I just want to give you a word of caution. He said, "I don't think that I would put all of my efforts, the amount of energy you're putting in this old building, until I saw whether it was going to work or not." You know, he said, "It might be that you can't build a church here." Now, he was serious about it. He said, "Every time I drive by and I see you working," I thought, "Oh my, I hope he's not doing this in vain." Now, before coming here, Sister Grant and I worked and started three churches. I can truthfully say, two of those churches, we received no mission support at all. We didn't have Christmas for Christ or a program in which young ministers were supported. We moved from Texas after we got a pastor for the church in Cushing. We remodeled that building and had revival there, and it was appealing for a man to come, and we moved all the way from Texas to Shawano. I was asked a question in a minister's meeting. "Did you have to deal with depression?" I said, "Why would I be dealing with depression?" "Well, surely it entered your mind that you move this 1,000 miles and this might not work." I said, "I can truthfully say, not one time did I ever think, when I was in Cushing or Shawano or La Crosse, I never thought one time this might not work." I can truthfully say that. You see, Isaiah 53, "Who shall believe our report?" You want to believe the report of men, or you want to believe the report of God? I read in one of Peter's epistles, he said, "Greet the saints in Babylon. My, do you know what Babylon is known for?" Sin, the word Babylon actually means confusion. That's what sin does. But evidently, someone didn't know how bad Babylon was and went over there and built a church. Solomon said, "With much wisdom cometh sorrow." And basically, when he's talking about wisdom here, he's actually talking about knowledge. You can know too much. I say, you can know too much, and with that comes sorrow. My, when I went to La Crosse, I was told by many people, "We've had a church here for 40 years and it's never been successful. This is a burned over field." You know what I did? I took my tape recorder, went downtown, and I stopped people on the streets. I said, "I'm just conducting a survey. I want to ask you something." The name of the church there was Apostolic Tabernacle. I said, "Have you ever heard of the church Apostolic Tabernacle?" I spent a half a day down there, and not one soul knew about Apostolic Tabernacle. When I finished my survey, I went back to church. I was convinced this was a figment of someone's imagination. Walk around the walls of Jericho 6 days. On the seventh day, get prepared for victory. And one thing that Joshua told them to do, "I don't want any talking." Why did he not want them talking? They would probably talk themselves out of the victory. "What are we doing? We don't have any guns. We have no ammunition. We have no sword. We have nothing." And yet, we're expecting somehow to tear these great big walls down. Now, you can think it if you want to think it, but don't turn around and repeat it. Because if you do, you're going to talk yourself out of a victory. Have you ever talked yourself out of a victory? By trying to figure out how this is going to happen, what's going to take place, and after a while you're telling yourself, God's not going to bless me. Look how all of my dreams have been shattered already. I'm a believer that God will do good for you. And if you feel he hasn't yet done what he's promised to do, you hold on to the promise of God, because the witness of God is sure. People that go around and spread rumors, people that lie, it's amazing to me. You can know that somebody lies. They can tell you a lie, and you know it might be a lie, but all of a sudden their story has credibility with you. Now, you tell me that how that happens, but it does. Oh, my, my, my. But this church is predestined to go up. Stay in the church. Be as Joshua as old, of old, that stated prior to his death. Choose you this day whom you will serve. As far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'm casting my lot with Jesus Christ. I'm casting my lot with the church. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My Jesus, I just got back from General Conference, and I think we had a couple of Christy Vega and Mary Capaccio went. I didn't see them, but I heard they were there. Several people had seen them and came and told me, said, "Oh, I met a girl from your church. On fire girl." "What was her name?" I said, "Christy." "Well, I had never called you Christy." I said, "I don't think we have a Christy here." I said, "I think we have a Christina." "Is your name Christina?" "That is your name, isn't it?" So I was right, see. So we have a Christina, but not a Christy. But they said, "No, she goes by Christy." I said, "Well, she does. I didn't know it." But at any rate, the General Conference, I've never come back more encouraged than I was when I went to General Conference. Let me tell you something. In spite of what the world may be saying, Wednesday night there was a drama. And this drama was entitled Healed in Houston. And it was about the revival that preceded Azusa Street. And it was out of this world. Thursday night, Brother Bernard, David Bernard, our general superintendent, spoke, and oh, what a message he delivered. Friday night was home missions night, and I don't know how many thousands of dollars were taken up, but hundreds of thousands of dollars were taken up. You know, and then we were getting ready for the Sunday PM service, which I had to leave before, but we were expecting 3,000 people to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the South Texas district. See, Houston, you have to understand that in a 40-mile diameter around Houston, there are over 100 UPC churches. A lot of churches there. They were bringing in 60 buses filled with people, largely without the Holy Ghost. That 3,000 volunteers. And the fire marshal said you can only put 250 people around the altar, around the front. So what happened was that they took out a lot of chairs. So that means that there were people in the Toyota Center where the Houston Rockets play. They were lined up all the way around in the nosebleed section. Now, I don't think we have the official account, the official number, rather, of how many people that received the Holy Ghost, but the unofficial count is from 35 to 4,500 people received the Holy Ghost in that service. Now, that is the most people ever to receive the Holy Ghost in one day on the North American continent. I looked at our reports. I just want to give you some of these. Foreign missions, the total amount of money deposited in foreign missions this past year was $28,527,075. $28 million. We're in 192 different nations of the world. We have 787 full-time missionaries. Our overseas constituents, 2,042,103. The number of churches overseas, 30,307. The number of ministers overseas, 17,879. This past year, we saw overseas baptized 104,906, with 104,344 of these people receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh. Now, here's an encouraging statistics. You know, when we take up Mother's Memorial Offering, quite a few people designate part of their offering to educate Bible school students or pay their tuition. And the Foreign Missions Division reported that right now we have in training overseas, that is in our Bible colleges, 32,367 ministers. I'm expecting a worldwide revival like Joel prophesied of. Here in the States, we have 4,330 churches. With the overseas churches, we have a total of 34,637. We have a total of 27,279 licensed ministers overseas in here. And our overseas constituents, along with those here in the States, are over 3 million, about 3,042,000 people. Now, please understand that there are other oneness organizations with sizable numbers of people. See, I do not believe that the United Pentecostal Church that we're affiliated with is the bride of Christ. It is a segment of the bride of Christ. I don't believe you have to belong to UPC in order to go to heaven. But I do believe that when John saw the number in the holy city, he saw a number that no man could number. Now, let's just take the UPC, and let's take the people that we know that, you know, there is a church that's buried beneath the sod of the earth. And then let's take the other oneness organizations, and I don't think all of them together would add up to what the United Pentecostal Church is. But could you feature a stadium? We were in the Toyota Center. Could you feature a stadium that would hold 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 million people? And all of them singing? Can you feature a choir of 10, 15, whatever, however many people is going to the Holy See. We don't know. But I do know this. This church is going up. Ephesians 5, 27, Paul says that he might present to himself a glorious church, having neither spot nor wrinkle, without blemish. You know, you hear people going, coming around, well, you know, my church is not perfect, and my church this, and my church that, and, well, don't accentuate the negative. The blood of Jesus Christ, as nasty as you are sometimes, the blood of Jesus Christ makes you perfect. As hateful and ornery as you are sometime, the blood of Jesus Christ makes you what you are. And if we constantly live under the blood, because he's coming back after a glorious church. I used this not long ago, but I feel I need to use it in closing today. We'll get on part two tonight. Sister Grant and I will be married 51 years here in another month. If you want to upset me, all you'd have to do is come and tell me what a horrible wife that I married. Now, Paul in Ephesians 5, he was comparing the husband and wife relationship to Jesus Christ and the church. You know the reason why some of you cannot be blessed and will not be blessed? Because you're always taking accusation to the Lord about his bride. How do you think that Jesus feels when you go around cutting down the church? How do you think he feels? The Bible even says, this is what Peter says, that the angels would not bring railing accusations before the throne of God against people. Talked to a lady one time, and she was telling me what she... I prayed for my pastor. I said, tell me what you're saying. And she started to... Oh, hold a minute. This is where you're wrong. You mean I can't talk to the Lord about just anything I want to? I said, you can, but that doesn't mean you're right when you do it. If the angels, having more knowledge of an individual than you have, because they are there to protect and guard and grant strength and knowledge and wisdom, if they won't go before God and complain about what somebody's doing, do you think that when you go before God and you complain that you're going to be blessed of God? You may say, well, then that means I don't have any recourse. No, that means you put your trust in God to take care of his business. You let him take care of his business, and you take care of your business. And everything's going to be great and fine, and victory is certain. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to stand with me at this time, would you? Oh, my. Let's lift our hands. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost throughout the building. My Jesus, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want our altar workers to come down, those that usually counsel with people, come and stand right here in front of the pulpit. Those that pray for the sick, come over here and stand. Now, if you're sick in body, remember that Jesus Christ heals. It's written in his word.